Nights tuned to yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Navonier. Westerns in this hour. Later on, we hear the story The Way West on the Oregon Trail on the Hallmark Playhouse. But right now, it's Gunsmoke from February 20th, 1954. William Conrad, John Daner, Parley Bear, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty star in the John Meston story, Last Fling.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Hello, Kitty. I didn't see you.
You'll get shot someday walking around in a daze like that.
You'll get sunstroke sitting out here in the heat and the dust.
I don't see people in the daylight very often. Wanted to find out if they're any different. Sit down.
Well, are they?
Any different?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I've spotted a few I think might be sober. That's different.
For you, maybe. And I was just thinking, Kitty, there's hardly a man comes to Dodge that isn't looking for trouble of some kind.
They call it fun.
Yeah, sure. But part of their fun's beating somebody up or shooting him.
I've heard of places where the men have to check their guns when they come to town.
Yeah, that never works. You can always hide a gun or a knife.
You ought to go fishing, Matt.
What?
Have some fun yourself. Quit worrying for a while.
Oh, I'm not worried, Kitty. You know, if it wasn't for all these men stalking each other, I'd be out of a job.
There are other jobs besides keeping the peace, Matt.
Yeah, I've tried most of them in my time.
Hey, Mr. Dillon? Oh, hello, Miss Kitty.
Hello, Chester.
Doc sent me to find you. There's an old man up in his office.
Oh, what does he want me for?
The old man's been shot.
Shot?
Yes, sir. Claims somebody tried to kill him.
You mean he was ambushed?
I guess he was. Anyway, it hit him in the neck.
All right, Chester. I'll go back with you.
He's got a friend with him, but they're both strangers around here.
Now, you see what I mean, Kitty? Young or old, they're all looking for trouble.
Maybe it'd help if we burned this place down. I'll sit here and think. See you about it later, Matt.
Where's the doc?
Somebody come for him.
Oh, what do you mean?
Somebody come for him, that's what. Said somebody else was sick.
You're the man that was shot, huh?
We don't need you, Marshal. We'll handle this.
What's your name, mister?
Peavy. John Peavy. My partner's name's Rives.
Milligan Rives, Marshal. You ain't never heard of us.
Where are you from?
Up north.
Sodbusters don't usually wear six guns. What are you doing in Dodge?
We quit the land, Marshal. We're going to enjoy ourselves for change.
We ain't never going back.
Huh? You're a little old to be making a move like that, aren't you?
I ain't hardly 60. Neither is Rive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't take you long to get into trouble, did it?
We ain't in trouble.
Maybe you're not Rives, but Peavy here's just been shot.
I told you we'd handle this, Marshal. Ain't nobody gonna sneak up on John Peavy and shoot him. I don't care if she is a woman.
A woman? What woman?
Oh, you always did talk too much, Peavy. You might as well tell him now.
I ain't going to tell him. I'll fix her myself.
You'll tell me or I'll throw you in jail till you do. I'm not going to have any women killed around here. Now, do you understand that?
Hey, go on, tell him. You already started.
Yeah. All right. She come up the alley, Marshal, next to our sleeping room, and she shot right through the window. Rives seen her running around the corner after her. I'm going to fix her good.
She's been threatening him, Marshal. I'm here to do it.
Who is this woman? What's her name?
Yeah, she's one of them gals that works at the Texas Trail, Marshal. Name of Kitty.
Matt, what are you doing here?
I'm sorry to bother you, Kitty.
Well, come in. Come in.
Yeah.
My room's a mess. I wasn't expecting any callers.
Well, it's important, Kitty.
Of course. What's the trouble, Matt?
You know a man called John Peavy?
Peavy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him, the old fool.
Did you threaten to shoot him?
Don't tell me he's come and complained to you about that.
Well, no, not exactly.
Well, I told him I'd shoot him, and I will, too, if he doesn't leave me alone, the old goat.
He's been shot, Kitty.
What?
He wasn't hurt very bad, but he and his partner claim a woman did it. Now, they say it was you.
Do you think I did it, Matt?
Well, Kitty, if you got mad enough and you had a gun in your hand, I'd be one of the first to hide, but to sneak up on somebody in cold blood. No, you didn't do it.
When did it happen?
Oh, an hour or two ago.
I've been right here, alone. I guess I couldn't prove it.
Well, you don't have to, Kitty.
Thanks, Matt.
The reason I came was to tell you about it and see if you had any ideas.
All I know about Peavy and his friend Rives is that there are a couple of old men who've been acting like schoolboys.
Oh.
Like they've run away and are having their last fling. And I don't want anything to do with either one of them.
Well, I don't blame you, but Rives claims he saw a woman down the alley after the shooting. You, any idea who it might have been?
No. Probably lying, dreaming.
Yeah, maybe. Well, if you hear anything, let me know, Kitty. And if Peavy gives you any more trouble, send for me.
I sure will.
Been up this early in the morning since I can remember, Mr. Dillon.
Oh? How about last Sunday, Chester?
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's different. That was still Saturday night, sort of. Hey, look. There comes Miss Kitty. What in the world is she doing up at this hour?
She's in a hurry, whatever she's doing.
Matt! Hello, Chester.
Morning, Miss Kitty.
What's the trouble, Kitty?
Matt, somebody tried to shoot me.
What?
In my room, just a while ago. I had a pillow down by my feet. I guess they thought my head was there. They put a bullet right through it.
What, did you see anybody?
No, it came from outside. I didn't dare look out right away.
It's kind of the same as happened to Peavy, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe it was Peavy. He threatened something like this.
I'm scared, Matt.
Well, you should be. Chester.
Yes, sir?
You stay with Kitty. Don't let her out of your sight. I'm going after Peavy and Rives.
Return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, every Tuesday, Pam and Jerry North prove that solving a murder is a family affair. And on the same evening, John Lund, as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, brings us the thrilling details of his latest insurance fraud investigation. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
By noon, I'd searched the whole town, and there was no sign of Peavy or his friend Rives. They'd disappeared. And until I found them, I didn't dare leave Kitty where they could get at her. So I had Chester drive her out to a friend's place a few miles from Dodge, and she was happy to go. Now, we didn't have any luck until the next afternoon. Cowboy happened to mention to Chester that he'd come across a couple of drunks camped about a mile up the Arkansas. So I decided it was worth riding out and taking a look. And it was.
It's them, all right.
Yeah, and they've seen us. Keep your head up now.
You think they'll fight us?
You never know.
What are you doing out here, Marshal?
Looking for you.
Well, you found us. Sit down and have a drink.
Well, what you got there?
Corn liquor. Only about half a jug left, though.
What's that other jug?
We killed that yesterday. Here. Have a swallow.
Well, say now, that's right kind of...
Chester.
But of course I don't drink before sundown. Leastwise, not very often.
Why'd you come out here if you don't want to drink?
How long have you men been here?
Day before yesterday. Peavy's neck was bothering him, and I figured a couple of days in camp like this might ease it off some.
I get to... feeling better. I'm going back and teach that gal Kitty a lesson, though. I swear I am, Marshal.
Somebody tried that this morning.
Eh? What do you mean?
She got shot at, Peavy, the same way you did.
That don't make no sense.
Why, he's just thinking you done it, Peavy.
How could I do her? I've been laying here drunk for 2 days. Anyway, I wouldn't shoot no woman, Marshal. I beat him up a little, that's all. Knock him around.
What kind of men you think we are?
I don't know. Why did you leave home in the first place?
Home.
Man don't live forever, Marshal. He's got to enjoy himself while he can.
Rives, you tell him what you told me about them graves.
Well, I was in the graveyard once, long time ago, and I noticed something I never forgot. No, sir. Never.
Yeah, tell him, Rives.
Well, Marshal, I looked around, and I seen that there was as many graves shorter than me as there was graves longer.
And that got him to thinking about dying, Marshal. So one day we decided to enjoy ourselves and quit working so hard. Hey, hand me that jug, Rives.
Yeah, help yourself.
Hold it a minute, Peavy.
Huh?
I want to tell you something.
What?
I'm going to leave you here, but if I see you around Dodge, either one of you, I'll throw you in jail.
What's this? He ain't done nothing.
You have it in mind to beat up Kitty. If you did that, I might kill you. So stay out of town. Come on, Chester. We left them there, passing the jug back and forth across their fire on the riverbank. Talking of death, probably, and of the hard, empty lives that they'd had. And the prairie often left men a little too hungry and a little too dry. Chester and I were talking about it when we spotted a woman up ahead. She was walking after a saddle horse, which we figured must have thrown her and got loose. She was an old woman and dressed for Sunday in a long black skirt and a big hat with a fancy pin stuck through it. I sent Chester to catch the horse while I rode up to her and dismounted. My friend will bring your horse back, ma'am. Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Well, how'd he get loose?
Mean critter, he run off.
Oh, I see. You live around here?
No. You've been down by the river, ain't you?
I just came from there. Why?
See anybody?
Well, a couple of men lying around a fire, that's all.
Drinking?
Yeah. Yeah, they were drinking. You know them?
I might.
Are you looking for somebody?
I might be.
Well, maybe you'd like us to ride back there with you.
I don't need nobody to ride nowhere with me, mister.
Oh, what's your name, ma'am?
What's my name? I don't take to scallywag cowboys asking me my name.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
You didn't?
What? No, ma'am. Of course I didn't.
What's yours?
Matt Dillon, ma'am.
Dillon. I heard that name somewhere.
We won't be introduced proper unless you tell me yours.
My name's Sabina Peavy.
Ms. Peavy?
I've been married 35 years, Dillon.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon. Seems gentle enough. I'll hold him while you get back on, ma'am.
I can manage.
Hey, look what she's got tied to her saddle, Mr. Dillon. One of them old cavalry pistols.
Yeah, grab it and put it in your belt, Chester.
What?
You heard me.
Yes, sir.
You put that back, you thief. What are you, anyways? Suppose you'll steal my horse next.
I'm a U.S. Marshal, Ms. Peavy. Everything's going to be all right.
A marshal, eh?
I want you to come back to Dodge with me. Chester will bring your husband in.
Is she Peavy's wife?
You can't stop me, Marshal.
Chester, go back to that camp and shoot a hole in their jug, and when they're sober enough, bring them to town. And don't say anything about Ms. Peavy.
Yes, sir, I'll do it.
You're going to be all right with me, ma'am.
Well, you stole my gun and you're stronger than me. Guess I'll have to go.
Shall I make another pot of coffee for us, ma'am?
No. No thanks, Dillon.
They ought to be here pretty soon. It's nearly evening.
You'll tell that girl, Kitty, how sorry I am I tried to shoot her, won't you?
I'm sure Kitty will understand.
Imagine me being blind jealous after 35 years.
You told me you were out to kill your husband. If that's true, why would you be jealous?
You can be jealous, even if you hate a man, Dillon.
You hate Peavy?
I didn't know how much I hated him till a day that old fool Rives come by. The two of them rode off together. He come into the house and took the money and left, just like that. After 35 years.
How'd you know they'd come here?
Oh, they was always talking about Dodge. They was always talking about laying on the bank of the Arkansas and drinking corn liquor, too. I knowed where they was.
You're mighty dressed up for a woman riding out to shoot a man.
Well, it seemed fitting somehow. Only good clothes I ever owned, Dillon. Wore 'em when I left home, St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I ran into you, Miss Peavy, before it was too late.
I'll talk to him. I told you I would. But I ain't never going back to him.
He's had his fun. Maybe he'll settle down now.
Not with me, he won't. Dillon, I bore that man 13 children.
13?
11 of them died. And he beat me every time we lost one. Every time, Dillon.
Oh, I see. Well, where are the other two?
He ran them off. Don't know where they are.
Huh. Here comes your husband. Looks like Chester's got him pretty sober.
But I don't want to talk to him in here in front of everybody.
Well, you could go out back there in one of the cells, if you don't mind.
What difference it makes? My hat on straight, Dylan?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, you look fine.
I'll wait out back.
All right, in here. Here they are, Mr. Dillon. Sober as deacons.
What's this all about, Marshal? What do you want us for?
We ain't bothered nobody.
Peavy, You go out back through that door. There's somebody wants to see you.
Who?
Get moving. No, you stay here, Rives. Go on, Peavy.
Well, all right. Who's out there, Marshal?
His wife.
You?
What will I do with their guns, Mr. Dillon?
Throw them in a drawer, Chester.
Okay, sir.
Hey, what's that?
He's beating her. Come on.
Look at Peavy. She knocked him out.
I think I killed him, Dylan.
Killed him? He sure looks dead. You stabbed him.
I have been. He beat me for the last time. Said he was going to kill me. I put it right in his heart.
You old devil, I'll get you.
No, you won't, Rives. Miss Peavy, you come with me. Chester, lock up Rives in another cell.
What for? You can't lock me up.
Oh, you ain't even armed, Rives. Get moving.
How about I tell you, I'm an innocent man. All right, Fred.
Come into the office, man.
Shut up. Your voice itches my ears. I had to
listen. He was going to kill me, Dylan. I know he was.
Well, I shouldn't have let him be alone with you.
Well, you didn't know. What are you going to do with me now?
You mentioned St. Louis, Miss Peavy. You have any people there?
My sister. She's all left.
Huh. Well, how'd you like to see her?
You ain't holding me?
It was self-defense.
Then I can go.
I'll hold Rives here till you're out of town.
Oh, but I can't get to St. Louis. Took all her money when he ran off. It's all spent, I know it.
Miss Peavy, would you think I'm a scallywag cowboy if I offered to stake you to St. Louis?
Thanks, Dylan. Wait till I tell my sister about you.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Ralph Moody, and Helen Cleave. Harley Bear is Chester and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from February 20th, 1954, the John Meston story, Last Fling. And it would be repurposed for the television series with the same director, Norman MacDonald, on March 23rd, 1957. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now the Hallmark Playhouse brings us a tale of the Oregon Trail. In 1845, via the story, The Way West, This first aired on CBS on the 12th of January, 1950.
Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, bring you Joel McRae in A.B. Guthrie's The Way West on the Hallmark Playhouse. Each week, Hallmark will bring you Hollywood's greatest stars in outstanding stories chosen by one of the world's best-known authors, the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Hilton. Tonight on our Hallmark Playhouse, we present the first performance on the air of a very fine novel by A.B. Guthrie entitled The Way West. A very fine novel indeed, I'd call it. Quite one of the best I read last year. Not only enthralling, but giving new insight into that vast and still unfinished drama of America which we ourselves are part of. Mr. Guthrie begins his story in Independence, Missouri, a town famous for a number of reasons. And the period he writes of is a century ago when the Way West and the Oregon Trail were hard ways for adventurous men. For the leading part in our stirring drama, that distinguished actor, Mr. Joel McRae, is with us tonight.
About Oregon, Marsh?
Well, I reckon now's as good as any time to say it. Becky, we're going to Oregon.
What?
You and Brownie and me.
Marsh!
I ain't satisfied to work here on the farm in Missouri and keep myself up so as I can work some more. There ought to be more to living than that.
Well, I never figured you for lazy.
Maybe I'm not. Becky, there just ain't enough range here. We're wasting time. This is 1845. There's a future for us in Oregon.
Future? Oh, but Lige, this farm, this house, well, we put every stick and splinter into it. We treated up the place together. Everything here means something to us. Brownie was born here. We have our roots here.
Our roots aren't so deep, Becky. We're still young. We have a whole lifetime ahead of us. This is a good house, all right, but we'll build a finer one. And we've got to think about Brownie, too. He ain't a boy no more. He's most 17. I'd like for him to know something besides root, hog, or die. I want him to have room to grow into a man. Good, fertile earth to farm. Don't you see, Becky?
How can you tell what there is in Oregon? How do you know it'll be any better than here?
Well, Dick Summers knows. He's been there. And he's going to guide us there. He knows the way, every inch of it. And we've elected a good captain. Irvin Tadlock. He's got more learning than the rest of us.
You're bound and determined to go, aren't you, Lars?
That's the way it has to be for all of us. And there's something else. All that wonderful land in Oregon. If we don't hurry up and take it, England will. They keep telling us 54-40 or fight. But we won't have to fight if there are enough of us there on the ground. Oh, it'd be a proud thing, Becky, for Brownie to say to his young'uns, "My folks helped win this country." We wouldn't want to sit in a chair and let other folks make history, would we?
Oh, you're bunching up on me, Lige.
I know that, Becky. But I'm asking you to put up with it and me. It ain't going to be easy. The going's going to be mighty rough. But this is my dream. And I ain't going to rest till I make it come true.
Lige Evans, you're my husband and I love you. Any dream of yours is my dream, too.
That day of departure in April 1845 dawned clear, and 100-odd men, women, and children gathered at a rendezvous outside of Independence, Missouri, in their big, high-wheeled wagons, piled high with their belongings.
and their stock, their cattle, their cows were in the rear of the train. Solid, established folk. They were leaving behind farms and businesses because they shared a dream about the rich land of the West. And their eyes turned irrevocably towards the western horizon and their goal, the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And the trek began.
What's up, Brownie?
Dick Summers told me to tell you to hide old Rock. Mr. Tadlock's give orders to all the dogs in the train to kill. Hank McBee's over behind that wagon doing the killing right now.
No one's gonna shoot my dog, Brownie.
What do you aim to do? Mr. Tadlock's captain.
Here, take the reins, Brownie. I'm gonna have a talk with McBee and Tadlock. Come on, Rock.
Well, that's one less, Tadlock. I'll clean out the whole pass of mongrels.
Including Rock, McBee?
I guess I'm going to have that pleasure, Lige.
What you got against dogs, Tadlock?
They're a nuisance. They slow up the train. They're always underfoot, make it hurt and lost, and cause delay. Anyway, they're sure to tip off any Indian camps we might run across.
That ain't so, Tadlock.
Stay out of this, Dick. You're only here as a hired guide.
The dogs will tell us where the Indians are quicker than they'll give us away.
Well, it's no matter anyway. Dogs aren't any good to anybody.
Step aside, Lige. You ain't gonna shoot my dog, McBee.
It's rules.
Who made them?
I'm appointed to carry them out. Now step aside.
Tadlock, I'll draw from this here company and take them that have dogs with me. You better stop, McBee.
The rule applies to everybody, Lige. McBee.
Reckon maybe I ought to cut you down to size, McBee.
Don't move, Lige. I don't want to have to shoot you. Now, step aside. I got my duty to do.
That gun down the tree. You're not so dangerous without a rifle, McBee. Swear, I don't know why somebody ain't killed you.
There wasn't any reason for you to bust in, Dick. I'd have made out.
Oh, sure, sure. I just acted sudden-like. Remembering old Rock got me riled, I reckon.
What are you gonna do about my dog, Tadlock?
Well, I'm gonna suspend the rule against dogs until we can have another general meeting along the trail someplace. That satisfactory?
It will be, if you change the rules.
I'm running this train, Evans, and I'll give the orders.
You watch out for the critters, Becky. I'm going at the rear and look at the stock.
Oh, wait, Lige, wait. You don't have to do all the work. Can we talk a minute?
What's wrong, Becky? You look sort of scared.
I just wanted to talk, is all.
About what?
Just talk.
You ain't like yourself. You wore out, I bet.
No, I'm all right. It's just the wind and all.
You down in your mind?
A little.
There's no cause to be down. Things is fine. You just make yourself think things is fine, and sure enough, you'll see they are.
That ever-blowing wind.
You know, I was just saying to myself, it's sure a nice day for travel.
Lige, do you ever think of the home we left?
No, honey. It ain't no use looking back.
You think things will be all right now, sure enough, Lige.
Slicker and grease, honey. Now, don't you fret yourself.
Hold the train. We'll corral.
What's the trouble, Tadlock?
The women want to rest.
Well, a little rest won't do no harm.
Yeah, but it's holding up the train.
That there, Tadlock. He galls me.
You were on his side.
Yeah, I don't guess I'm for cutting him down. Not yet.
Some of the men are, I hear. And they say it ain't on account of his bossiness altogether. They say he talks hurry, but it's his critters that slow us up.
Yeah. The longer he's captain, the mightier he gets. He's got his points, though. He tries hard. It ain't easy with some wanting to hurry and some wanting to hold back, some scared of Indians and some sorry they set out, and some just plain ornery.
He won't last the trip, Lige.
The question is, who'd be better?
You would.
Me? Are you crazy?
You never did give yourself credit for what you could do.
Why, you're getting crazy by the second one. I'm not cut out for a leader. I couldn't tell a man what to do. Imagine me making speeches to a flock of people.
Speeches come when it's needed, Lige. You know the right time.
Time we get
shortcut to the Platte, we'll sure enough be on the real start to the mountains in Oregon.
How far is the river, Pop?
Be there by morning.
What? Get out from under that wagon. There's nothing wrong with you.
I guess I better stroll over and see what's eating Tadlock.
I said get up and get going.
I can't move, Tadlock. I'm sick. I hurt all over.
There's nothing wrong with you, Martin.
Let me get a look at him, Tadlock.
Oh, there's no need for that, Lige. You can't be that sick.
I reckon he knows better than we do.
Now, look, we're going to roll out on time. Let's load him in a wagon and get going.
Hey, Martin's got camp fever.
What difference does that make?
Camp fever? Is it catch?
No. All right, get back to your wagons, all of you. Get ready to pull out.
Hold your horse, Tadlock. We aim to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Lige, put him in a wagon and we'll roll.
Yeah. Don't know as we ought to.
I'm the captain. I'll take the responsibility.
We're all together, Tadlock, including Martin. What I aim to do is see that everybody's took care of proper. I ain't for jolting Martin along in a wagon.
Don't be a fool. Grass is already short because of the buffalo. It'll be a darn sight shorter if we let the other companies get ahead.
We ain't first anyhow. There's some ahead.
A handful, if any. But because they're ahead, you think we can let everybody pass?
Camp fever makes the bones ache bad. I'm in favor of staying here until we know Martin's better.
We'll roll, do you hear? I say we'll roll.
I ain't moving.
Hold on, everybody. We need to remember that the trick is to keep moving. It'll be late fall before we reach Oregon as it is.
A man's life matters too, don't it, Tadlock?
We can't hold up for one man.
Tadlock, I don't reckon you're the man to tell us that.
I say let's wait.
That's right.
Listen, everybody. Lige is trying to turn you against me. Is that the reward and thanks a man gets for looking out for your interests? Why, if I didn't push, you'd all be back in Missouri. Now get out of your wagons and let's get going. You can't talk your way to Oregon. Remember, Lige, I still have a few friends on this train.
You're losing them by the minute.
You're pretty ambitious, aren't you, Lige? You want my job, don't you? Is that what you're trying to put over on the folks? Well, it won't get you anywhere.
No. No, I ain't cut out for a captain. But one thing I do know is that Martin began this trip with us. He shared our dream. Well, he's as important as this whole train. The going's been rough, all right, but he's driven and plotted and pushed and tugged and helped turn the wheels. He's eaten dust with us. He's swam in sweat and he froze at night. He worked the sun up and he worked it down to keep rolling, just like all of us have done. And I say we owe it to him to wait for him to get better, so as he can share the driving and the plodding and the pushing and tugging and the joy of the new land that's waiting for us all. And Tadlock, the people in this here train is going to have a meeting tonight. And we're going to unseat you. Yes, sirree.
In July 1845, the wagon train bound for Oregon reached the Red Butte Mountains under the leadership of Lige Evans, who had been elected captain. Weary and spent by the grueling months of travel, the great heart and courage of the pioneer group never wavered. Then suddenly, to add to their hardship, they were surrounded by buffalo, to the left of them, the right, and ahead, and behind, closing the train in and hoofing up dust that hung like a fog.
It's the darnest country, Dick. Don't do nothing by halves. Either there ain't a buffalo or there's nothing but buffalo.
Ever see a buffalo stampede, Lige?
No, and I don't like the notion of it. Wouldn't they shy off even from a train?
Well, I couldn't tell you about that.
It's funny about them buffalo calves. You wouldn't think they'd join up with us and foller tame cows.
Sometimes what you got to watch for is your own critters don't chase off with the buffalo.
I got every man we can spare watching them.
Howdy, Pop.
Where's Rock Brownie?
Well, lamed himself a little, so I boosted him into the wagon. Sure looks like a storm coming up.
Maybe not. That cloud ain't hardly moved for an hour or more. Dick, which way are the buffalo likely to run?
I don't know as it makes any difference. Our cattle will likely run if the buffalo do.
Well, I'm going to round up all the men. We're going to set fires beyond where the cattle is. Maybe that'll help if there's trouble. Come on with me, Brownie.
Brownie! Brownie, where are you, Brownie?
stampede's over, we'll be able to save some of our stock.
That you, Patch?
Oh, right, Dick.
So have you seen Lige?
Well, he's right here.
Oh, are you all right, Pa?
Brownie.
I told Ma you'd make out. Dick come and stayed with us herders, and we rode wild trapping our stock. I swear it was fun.
Fun? Fun, was it?
What's the matter, Pop?
I'll strap you for scaring the daylights out of me. Becky, you know how boys are. They got to have a look at everything. Time don't mean nothing to them.
Why is everyone behind their wagons toting guns? Why are you toting a gun, Lige?
Now, don't be getting in the flutter.
Oh.
Cap your pieces, all of you.
Lige!
Take it easy, Becky.
Lige! Indians! Brownie's with them! Oh, Lige!
Brownie! All on your face! We're going to blast them!
Oh, wait a minute. Hold your fire, Lige. Hold your fire.
What's up, Dave?
Them nabobs is from the Sioux. They don't savvy a word.
Peaceable?
Well, they won't rub you out except in fun.
Where'd they get Brownie?
Must have wandered into their party. You're going to have to trade with them to get him back. Now get your pipe out and act to be loading it. That's peace sign.
Can I take Brownie away from them now?
Oh, let him stay. Ain't much risk now, Lige, as long as we're careful. Ain't nothing whets an Injun's appetite like scalps to be took safe.
Yeah, those red devils have got two of my horses. Some of them entered the corral from the rear. I want them back right now.
Oh, you ain't no bargaining position, Tadlock. I can't do very much, can I?
You won't help me get them back?
It ain't worth the gamble.
Particularly when the horses aren't yours. You wouldn't stop to think that your boy caused the loss.
I don't go along with you on that, but I'm willing to leave it to the council. If they decide against me, I'll make up the loss to you.
Don't make me laugh. You run the council. You are the council. They'll kill me an Indian or two before this trip is over.
No sense in killing one that didn't do you any wrong.
One's like another.
Tadlock, I'm peaceable, but it's getting hard to keep from twisting your neck.
I'm waiting for you, Lige.
Now, hold it, boys. No sense showing the Indians we're fooding. Might take it into their heads we're a soft mark and attack us somewhere along the trail.
I'm going to get my horses right now, Lige. You going to try to stop me?
I wouldn't be taking the lives of this here train in my hands if I was you, Tadlock.
You're not worrying a mite about the lives of the people in this train. Your whole concern is your son. The rest of us can get scalped for all you care. I'm going to get my horses. You hear me? And at the same time, I'm going to hang an Indian who stole them.
Stand right where you are. Don't make a move.
Your guns don't frighten me.
I don't need any guns. Guess maybe it'd be best, the best interest of everybody if we settled our dispute once and for all.
No, Lige.
Too bad. It's got to be this way, Dick. I reckon the Injuns will smell a skunk.
I'm going to get my horses back right after I whip you, Lige. And a whipped man won't be captain of this train for long. Come on, let's go.
He did what was needful, Lige.
Yeah. Now we can start trading with the Indians for Brownie. Across this river. Tide's too stiff. Floating wagon might draw the teams along with it. Horses will pull them across. Next!
I'll follow you, Lige.
I expect I'll take my wagon across last, Tadlock.
I'll follow you.
Well, there's no time to argue. You ride along with us, Dick.
Okay.
Ain't too far across, but this water's sure a fooler. Deeper than you imagine.
What are you waiting for, Tadlock? I'm right behind you.
Hey, we're sinking.
Don't worry, Becky. Just set still. Horses will swim at the cross.
Yeah! Yeah!
I sure knows how to cross the river.
Oh, well, in all the years I've been married to him, we've been near a river.
These horses slip.
Oh.
On your feet, Nellie.
Yeah! Yeah! Watch it, Lige.
We got about 30 more feet to go. We'll make past them.
Padlock, you're following too close. Watch the boulders. Take care of your own wagon.
That ain't a bad idea.
Yeah, Nellie. Yeah!
This river is a fury.
Well, we're free of the boulders. We ain't got no trouble ahead.
Tadlock's wagon's hit the rocks. The river's got him.
Where you going, Lige?
Gone under.
I better fish him out.
Tadlock's not worth it. Water's dangerous.
He's a human. I gotta try.
Oh! Sly, you don't see him?
Ronnie, look after your ma. I'm going back in.
There's Pop. He's got Tadlock by the hair. They're going under.
Sly!
I'll go in the line. Here. Catch it, Larry!
Got it!
Help me pull, Ronnie. Come on. You all right, Ronnie?
Winded is off. Tadlock's hurt bad.
I suppose I have to thank you, Lige.
No call for that, Tadlock. Whatever's our trouble, you're still part of this train, and you count as much as anybody else.
I never thought I'd say it, but you're a good captain, Lige.
We're going to hit Oregon together, Tadlock. We're not moving until you get well.
Well, Lige, there she lies yonder, Willamette Valley. You're in Oregon.
It's a mighty pretty sight, Dick. All that green grass prairie shining in the sun. If a man must have roots in the soil of life, this is as good a place as any to plant them.
Well, I reckon that's all right for you, Lige. But my job's done. I'll be going back.
Well, why don't you stay here with us? There's free land for you like everybody else. You could be an important man in Oregon.
Well, it ain't importance I'm after.
What is it?
Well, I'm bound to chase my tail, I reckon, like a pup. Your way's cut out. It's a good way for you. Mine's different.
What, don't it mean nothing for you for Oregon to be America's?
You and yours will tend to the future of America. And I'd say it was in mighty good hands. So long, Lige.
So long, partner.
There couldn't be no other way for him. It's different for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon you're right, Becky.
Grief bows the heart, but makes it richer. Both joy will be richer.
Yes, Becky. Yeah. Look out there, honey. We sweated and labored to get here, but that makes the getting sweeter. Yonder's all that rich soil waiting for the plow, waiting for the work of hands and the happy cries of children and the future of Brownie. We've rolled miles and left the dust behind. And we're just the first of many more who pay the price of hardship. The cost was high, but it was worth it.
No prize ever comes easy, Lige. This is your dream come true.
I love you, Becky. Oh, Becky. Welcome home to Oregon.
Again is James Hilton.
I think you'll agree with me that Joel McRae did a splendid job as Lige in A.B. Gus's story, The Way West. Mr. McRae, on behalf of all those who make Hallmark cards, I want to thank you for appearing with us tonight and for treating us to such an outstanding performance.
Well, I never quite know how to respond to introductions or words of appreciation. I guess, like your Hallmark cards, the best practice is to say the appropriate and sincere thing. So, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
We're always happy indeed to feel that we're carrying on in the Hallmark tradition. I hope I may be pardoned for being a bit proud, but the fact is that we like to establish firsts here at the Hallmark Playhouse. Tonight we had the first radio adaptation of The Way West, and this was your first visit with us, Joel McRae. This series of firsts is certainly in keeping with the traditions of the makers of Hallmark cards.
Right, Mr. Hilton. What story have you selected for next week?
Next week, we shall present our dramatization of that fascinating novel by Jules Verne, Around the World in 80 Days. A story whose very title takes us back through the years to an age when 80 days was almost incredibly fast for such a trip. The story concerns not only the journey, but a wager of a fortune. It's all very exciting, and I think one of the best things Jules Verne ever wrote. And to play the part of the adventurous traveler, we are fortunate indeed to have Ronald Coleman back at the Hallmark Playhouse. I hope you'll all be with us then for what promises to be a delightful evening, Around the World in 80 Days, starring Ronald Coleman. Our Hallmark Playhouse is every Thursday. Our director-producer is Bill Gay. Our music is composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. And our script tonight was adapted by Jack Rubin. Until next Thursday then, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Joel McRae is soon to be seen in the MGM production Stars in My Crown. The part of Rebecca was played by Miss Loreen Tuttle. This is Frank Gross saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time when Jane Silton returns to present Ronald Coleman in Jules Verne's Around the World in 80 Days. And the week following, Mary O'Hara's Green Grass of Wyoming starring Lon McAllister. And the week after that, John Fante's Wine of Youth on the Hallmark Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Hallmark Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from January 12th, 1950 on CBS. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.